Let's give all of our legislators a round of applause for everything that they do for us. And before we do move into this panel discussion, I would like us, and I don't see any of them back there, but maybe they can hear us clapping for them, the staff here at the state park. Don't they do a wonderful job? Now, Representative Thomas, I do want to let you know, they told me before you got here, since I think you were the last one here, that you had to get all the hard questions.
That's right. I thought we deferred to our senior member right there.
Oh, okay.
We
can do that then. So you all just be prepared. But I will thank you all for being here today, and thank you for participating in this little different format than we typically do. So what we're going to do, just have a panel discussion. I did ask our executive committee members to present some questions, and so I've got a few of those that we're going to go through today and let our legislators respond to. But I'll throw a softball to get things kicked off, and just ask sort of what are your priorities for the upcoming legislative session. And Senator, I will start with you if that's okay. Go ahead, try that one.
How about now? Does that sound all right?
Can you all hear? Okay, let's use this one.
All right, there it is. I've got a number of bills I'm going to file, but I'm going to talk about two. One, some many of you have heard me talk about before. Kentucky is one of an increasingly smaller number of states, but still the majority of the states, that doesn't have a consumer privacy protection, digital privacy protection law on the books. I know that for those of you that are not tech folks or nerds like me, that may not matter to you, but I think the more we share of our information online, the more rights we ought to have related to that information. We ought to be able to ask for a copy of that. We ought to be able to ask to have that deleted. We ought to be able to ask to correct it if it's mistaken. We should know and be informed about what data is being gathered and what's being used for by this website we visit or that. We don't have a law on the books. And there's an increasing number of states that are trying to advance that. This will be the third year that I will have tried to do it here in Kentucky. I'm going to file it on the first day. The other bill that's very important to me, and that's a bill aimed at protecting life. Those of you that know me have heard me talk about pro-life causes for a long time, and it's important to me. And there are bills that I have sponsored and co-sponsored that relate to banning abortion or restricting abortion, but this isn't that. When Amanda was at Alpha Pregnancy Care Center for a number of years, and I would get a chance to meet some of the women that came through their doors, I would get a chance to interview some of them. I would do a little video thing for their banquet every year, because I'm the nerd and tech guy, and I'd meet with these women, and the women all had a very consistent message. The reasons that they sought an abortion when they sought an abortion years before or whenever it was, they were worried about guilt or shame or pressure from the father of the child, from their own parents, from their coach, from a teacher, from a boss. Or they were worried about making ends meet. How can I go to work and be a mom and have a child and raise a child? How can I feed this child and bathe and clothe this child? How can I go to school? How can I pay for a house? What am I going to drive? Government can't fix a deadbeat dad. Government can't fix a church pastor or a deacon that casts judgment and guilt and shame instead of love and compassion. But government can make education cheaper, can make housing cheaper, transportation cheaper and more accessible. So the bill that I'm going to file with a price tag that I'm not going to say out loud because it's that large, I plan to file on the first day. That's aimed at doing just that. Investing in moms and babies and children, born and unborn alike, to make it easier for moms to be a mom and to choose to be a mom. For those families to have a better shot at success. It has nothing to do with the language of the bill doesn't say abortion or mention it at all. It's about taking care of moms and babies in the womb and out. So that's that.
So a couple of things that I'm looking at coming up for this next session is, and probably one of the biggest things I've been working on, is youth vaping. I've talked to our school districts, and it's a problem that's rampant in the schools. They've started confiscating products even at the third and fourth grade level. We have there's places in the state that are selling to underage minors. There's not enough compliance checks for these places, and there's really no teeth in the penalties to stop them from doing it. So I have been having ongoing discussions all during the interim, trying to navigate all the different parties that are interested in trying to come to a solution that everybody can live with. But it's also a lot of illegal products being sold in the state that the FDA says that they're not approved, they're not safe, and again, it's hard to get them off the shelf because there's no teeth to the penalties if somebody is selling those illegal products. And we had just recently a couple of kids in Northern Kentucky collapsed at school. They traced it back to a vaping product that had been sold illegally to them. They purchased it underage. So that's one thing. Of course, I have a healthcare background. Another thing I'm looking at is sexual assault nurse examiners. This is a type of nurse that is certified to do forensic kits on a rape victim when they come into the emergency room. So this kind of gets to your rural versus urban healthcare, because in our urban hospitals, there's not really a shortage of the same nurses. When you get to your rural hospitals, that's where we have a lack of these nurses. And so you have a situation where you could have a victim come in, and if that kit is not done correctly, that hinders law enforcement from actually being able to catch the perpetrator. So this is really a rural versus urban healthcare problem that we're looking at. How can we ensure that we have more of these certified nurses in our rural hospitals? Another issue I'm looking at, kind of a boring issue to a lot of people, but it's about landfills and about giving some local determination back to our counties when a landfill is looking to locate exactly a residual waste landfill. So those are three of the bills that I'm kind of got ongoing drafts working on.
A garbage bill.
Yes.
Thank you, Representative. I probably should have done this before we got started, but if you don't know them, we do have Senator Westerfield, Representative Raymer, Representative Freeland, Representative Williams, and Representative Thomas.
Thank you. I'm glad to see my mayor and judge executive here for Lyon County. Excuse me. Really, things I'm working on that are priorities for me are what are priorities for my counties that I represent. I know we've got a river project. I see Amanda here. So we're getting feedback.
Go ahead.
The river projects, and that's one in Paducah as well. And also some wastewater treatment plant centers, which I know that's exciting, front page news. But it's a big deal for the counties, for sure. Personally, the only thing that I am working on that is, I don't say for me, but that is not in regards to anything that would be a big concern for the counties and cities is a lot of states have what's called a dental therapist, and that is someone who is a dental hygienist. My wife does that. She works in public health. And one of the problems Kentucky has is it's not that you can get dental coverage, but there are no providers for Medicaid patients for kids. And this would allow a nurse, a dental hygienist to take expanded care and be able to perform things like cavities, more simple procedures that the dentist would normally do. And it would almost be like a nurse practitioner type of situation where the hygienist could open a practice, but it would be under the direction of the dentist. So, and it would be more simple procedures, and they would strictly deal with Medicaid, Medicare patients. So that's something that I would like to work on, and I think it would be good for Kentucky. We certainly have a very limited supply of dentists who can work on kids right now. So that would be good, I think. But that's about it. I just want to be a good rep for our counties.
Thank you, Jason, for the invite. Good to see everybody here as well. I'll probably start out. One of the most important things that I see to kind of be in my bonnet, I guess if you will, is our energy grid and where we are with that. I think we're transitioning too fast, the attempt to transition too fast off of fossil fuels. And we've got a regional transmission operator who are all screaming at the top of their lungs that we don't have enough power, and we're headed to a cliff. And I think that I'm going to try to build in some protections for that and do whatever I can to try to at least make a speed bump for that. And another thing, I think, in addition to that, I'm kind of looking at a long game. I think there's a few things that we need to make our economy grow. We started it with the income tax reduction. I think that's one part. And another part is a spending. While we see these spending on programs, you know, we've done a good job on cutting some of those things back. But we have seen an expansion by the non-legislature form of government and Medicaid expansions. Some of these other things that I think that we could probably do better. You know, even people that are abusing welfare, that able-bodied employees could go to work. We want to try to get them back to work. So then, you know, maybe later this year or next year, we want to tackle deregulation. I think we need everybody to get off their business people's backs and let them get to work and let the market decide where that falls. So those are some of the things that I'm working at this year, kind of general, but have, you know, those few bills teed up already. Thank you.
And I'm Representative Walker Thomas, represent Caldwell, Trigg, and Christian, and I want to thank all three of my county judges. I've seen them all, Stan Humphreys, Cody Young, and Jerry Gillum, all here today. Working on just a few things, I chair Veterans Military Affairs and Public Protection, so a lot of times I won't carry a ton of bills, but I'll find homes for them that have to do with the veterans and military. But I probably am going to carry, and I hadn't decided fully yet, but working on the cybersecurity bill with Murray State, and I just was shocked that we're 4,000 people that are in that field short right now in the state of Kentucky, and I think it was, 70,000 or something like that nationwide. So we've got to get some of these younger folks into the cybersecurity world, because as you can tell by the news, that's a big issue. Something a little bit more local. I am filing a bill. It was filed last year. This year we hope to move it. That just requires rubber on metal wheels on the roads. So many of us have some issues on that. The roads have a tendency to break down a lot quicker than if you're not having rubber on it. So just going to put a strip of rubber on the metal rims. And then my last one, which I filed 7 years in a row, I'm hearing there's actually another state rep that might file it too. Sometimes it might be good to put it in new hands and let them carry the football across the finish line, but tax-exempt military pensions. I think that's huge for any of these counties that are, especially along the Tennessee border, to try to get some of these men and women to retire here as a lieutenant colonel, 20, 25 years in the service. Those will be the leaders in a lot of our industries and communities. So those are the three I'm gonna try to work on, and I always look forward to y'all's input.
Thank you.
Okay, with the next session being a budget session, one of the questions that was submitted had to do with road funding. And will there be an opportunity, do you all see any opportunity this next session to address additional funding for cities and counties on the road side? And then as well, sort of a two-part question, do you see any opportunity for additional state funds being provided to the governor for discretionary funding? So I'm going to let who will take volunteers on that.
So I don't expect any additional funding in the transportation plan anywhere. And if you want a project that's not already in the plan somewhere, I think you should be prepared. I'm going to be prepared to have to take a project out. And I've shared that with folks in my counties or some of my counties so far. I will tell you that while we've been sitting here, we did just get the most recent report or email from the Office of the State Budget Director indicating that general fund receipts fell 2.7% for November, and road fund receipts increased 7.1%, up 9.1% year to date. That's promising, and there might be additional funds there. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, so maybe there are some additional figures, but I know that Chairman Higdon, I won't speak for the House side, but the Chairman of the Transportation Committee in the Senate is quick to tell us, and we just had our caucus retreat 2 weeks ago talking about a lot of different things, but he was quick to say, if you want a project that's not already in there, be prepared to tell me what project you're going to pull out. With that in mind, I don't anticipate any additional money in the discretionary fund, but I wouldn't necessarily have been in the room whenever that conversation's been had. So I'm not the right one to answer that question.
Well, of course, this is going to be my first budget session, so it'll be interesting to see exactly how all this works. But I have not heard any talk of increasing discretionary funds, although I know that my counties have both said that that is a huge need for the blacktop money. So that's something that I did pass on to our chairman of the Transportation Committee in the House. And, you know, worked closely with him about the projects that are in the road plan and trying to bump up one for our county, for Muhlenberg County, that interchange there at Central City, trying to make sure that that's our number one project that we want done and trying to get as much into this next budget session that we possibly can.
Thank you.
One thing that I heard, I'm not on the Transportation Committee, but I was watching one of the committees last night and heard something interesting, and it was in the, Senator Higdon was talking about this with the Kentucky Department of Transportation. They were asking about the possibility of a fund of about $50 million that would go into a fund just for cities and counties to use for a bridge that may need some immediate repair. And it would be cheaper to go ahead and fix it rather than let it deteriorate till you have to put a whole new bridge in. So they seem very favorable to that request, so we'll have to see where that goes. But if that happens, that would be some money that cities and counties would be able to utilize that they never have before without having to go through all the processes.
Say anything that hadn't already been said?
Just recently, I think all of us have met with Representative Upchurch on our local projects that we really are pushing. And you know, I've spoken with Stan and tried to get his projects that he's really interested in, Cody Young and Jerry. And so in Christian County, I think we're going to try to pool and shuffle our money towards the interchange down there where there's potential growth, 115 interchange off of I-24. You know, Stan would like to sit there and say, we're going to go ahead and three-lane I-24 from Caldwell all the way to the border, but I don't think we're going to afford that one yet. But I don't see a lot of extra transportation money coming in right now. So
I just got one thing to add, Jason. I'm on the Transportation Committee, and one thing that I really enjoyed is the partnerships between private sector and the public sector, especially with the transportation needs. I've really been impressed with our highway transportation cabinet and these outside groups, and they're working together to do these recycled materials, recycled blacktop and reusing that, and they're really drilling into that. So at least our money will go further than it did in the past. So I think those things are good looking forward.
Okay. Several of our counties here in this room benefit and rely heavily upon coal and mineral funds. Is there any discussion at this time regarding that distribution method for those funds?
We got to know when we
sent it to the that question, but no.
Okay. Thank you for that. Are there any, in this a little bit different topic, switching topics here, are there any proposed solutions from the jail task force that is being presented that may come for passage during this next session?
Well, I was on that committee, and being former law enforcement and actively involved with those jails locally, I think a good thing that came out of that task force, I think, is just really understanding how many levels of that problem had to it. And one of the things that I think was good that came out of it was the economy of scale. You realize that there's a number there, you know, 200, 400 bed facility that you tend to either break even or you make a little money on it. So I think that's one thing that kind of stood out and highlight. I don't want to let the cat out of the bags or all the, you know, what the suggestions will be going forward, but I think there's some good plans. We did a really good job of breaking everything apart over the session. I think that we'll have some good outtakes when we get back in the session.
Y'all have anything you want to add over here?
I think
need for the Department of Corrections to make some changes internally. I don't know that legislation's required to do that. One of the biggest hang-ups, and every jailer or county judge executive in here is familiar with this problem, I'm sure, and that's the classification problem. Determining the classification of an inmate is a prerequisite before that inmate can participate in any programming. So the people that we send to serve state time, once they're sentenced, they've got to be classified. That classification ought to be done by local jailers, by local jail staff who are fully qualified to do it and can do it in a few minutes. Instead, it's done by the Department of Corrections, and in some instances, I won't speak for everybody else, but I'm aware of cases where it's taken 18 months. That's stupid, entirely avoidable, and harmful both to public safety and to the correction of that person's behavior and problems that they're dealing with. They're certainly serving the time that they're supposed to serve, and that's fine. But we all of us, want the people that are in those facilities to come back out and not break the law again. And a lot of those people are struggling with substance use disorders or something similar to that, or psychological issues. You can't participate in a substance abuse program at the jail or the prison that you're in until you've been classified and you're where you're supposed to be. And that's that bottleneck has got to be dealt with. If there's legislation necessary, I'm all ears for what that should be. One of the things that I do know DOC needs, and we sent them some money this year, and that's additional funding for their staff, for corrections facilities. But they're also not the only state agency that could use that additional income boost. But that's one thing. That's not the reason for the slowdown in classifications. But again, if DOC can correct that, or if we can pass legislation that allows local jailers to make those calls, I think that'd help a bunch.
I know one topic that the Kentucky League of Cities and the Kentucky Association of Counties has been talking about for much of the interim session, I believe, and that is annexation. Are there any proposals that anyone can share regarding annexation?
I know that there was a group that's been meeting. I forget now who on the Senate side was participating in that. Maybe Jason Howell from Murray, or maybe it was Brandon Storm from London, Laurel County. Folks, I cannot remember which senator was heading up that effort. But I know that they've been having conversations. I do expect some proposal to come forward after the much fraught and discussed and debated sort of freeze that we eventually passed this year. So I do expect something, but I don't have the first clue what it's going to say. You all would probably have a better idea through KLC or Keiko would have a better idea of what that might look like than I do at this moment. Anybody else have it?
I'll just add, I know that KLC and Keiko are continuing to talk, and I think everybody is hopeful that they, in their talks, can come to an agreement that they both can live with, and I'm sure if they can both live with that the General Assembly would probably be happy to accommodate what they come up with, but I think that's being encouraged for them to continue to negotiate.
I guess I will just ask at this time, is there anyone that is on the KLC Executive Committee or CAICO Executive Committee that might want to comment on this? No one.
JD just put out a memo just a couple of days ago that they're actively working on it and wanting to get a solution.
Okay. Don't want to add anything. Okay, one final question, it's a similar topic. Thoughts on addressing population shifts that are occurring, moving away from rural counties and rural communities, and the financial impact that is having on local government entities?
Yeah, and we saw that in the last census, the Eastern Kentucky lost a couple state reps and Western Kentucky lost one. So there is some natural pull to go towards these urban communities, and a lot of it's jobs. But we are trying to do things. We put out the PDI that lets counties draw from it. And Judge Humphreys, was the spec building, did that have any money towards that? We put out $100 million that you could help pull from to build spec buildings in rural communities and things. Did y'all use a little bit of that?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are some of the things that we have done, and we will continue to look at just trying to get money in the rural areas to try to help with some of these projects. And hopefully we can continue that and try to keep the drain from leaving the rural areas and moving to the bigger cities. But it's really hard to stop anyone from doing that. It's a free society, but some of the incentives we can stay, you know, and use, whether it be for veterinarians to, you know, stay in rural communities and help with their student loans or things, those are the programs that we're going to be looking at.
I think with money that has been spent on broadband, I think that has been a hindrance to rural communities, the lack of broadband, and improving that will really help people to stay here and people to move here. Like in Lyon County, Marshall County, I mean, we've got some of the most beautiful lakes in North America, and it's certainly a drawing part for recruiting people to move to our state and move to our area in West Kentucky. And I think, too, House Bill 9, which I know has been discussed, and there's been workshops on that, I think that will create a lot of opportunities for to build attractions, to build careers and opportunities for our people to stay home. And I think just emphasizing that in our local communities, I think they're doing a good job as well. I know Calvert City, they've invested a lot of money in a trail system, which they're looking at things that younger families are wanting. And they're trying to go after that group. And so I think any city or any county that does that is a good idea.
If Representative Petrie would have been here today, he would have probably taken up all your all's time talking about House Bill 9. Is that right? That will be a game changer. And I know that's something. Thank you all for what you're doing with House Bill 9. Anything you all want to say about that final question? All right. I apologize for doing this. Does anyone out here, I have any additional questions for our legislators? Yes, sir.
Yeah, getting back to the transportation issue, this has always been a thorn in a lot of our sides on the funding and everything. When are they going to account for all the money collected at the pumps specifically for the transportation issue and maintaining of the roads? Go to that instead of into the general fund and get doled out on everything else. They need to account for that money a little tighter so they'd have more than enough money to take care of the transportation issue.
I can say, if Chris McDaniel were here, or even better, Jason Petrie were here, they could answer this question way better than I would have tried. I can tell you that over the last maybe three budgets, we've actually actively removed some of the things that allow those monies to go elsewhere. The first thing that comes to mind is the state police. We use road fund money to help shore up the state police budget. I think to the tune of $80 or $90 million. I mean, it was a huge figure, and we've been bringing that down. I still think there is some. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. I feel like there's still some that comes out of the road fund to help them, but we've been tapering that off. Maybe it's completely gone. So we've made efforts in the last several budget cycles to eliminate that sort of seepage into other programs. And for good reason. One, our roads need every dollar they can get. And two, those other programs, if they're worthwhile, need to get general fund money appropriated for them. So I hear you. And we do track. You can find, and I'm happy to provide you all, and Pat can get it to you all from us. But we can show you where every source of funding comes in for our road spend, whether it's from the pump, whether it's from the feds or general fund dollars, whatever. We've, as far as I'm aware, been actively trying to reduce the places where that money's been going somewhere other than the roads.
Any other questions?
Just have a question.
Yes, sir.
I know that you guys are talking about doing away with the state income tax. When that eventually happens, I know it's, you know, we're taking it away little by little each year, which personally I enjoy. Is that something that you guys are going to eventually take away from the cities, the local payroll tax? And if so, how are you going to allow the cities to offset?
I have
never heard that mentioned. I can't speak for the other 137, but I've never heard that.
No, I'm asking if so. You've never heard that? Okay, that's good.
Now, if you do remember a few years ago, we had the tax modernization, that constitutional amendment, which would simply allow the General Assembly to somewhat change the tax structure for cities and counties, for to be able to provide a sales tax, so that you wouldn't be so reliant on occupational and property tax.
That's the only thing I've heard.
Yeah, okay. And that's the only thing that's been discussed, though.
Okay, because I know that a lot of cities use that for part of incentive packages and things like that.
Yes.
I think a lot of the problems with the task force that we talked about today, especially the annexations, will deal with local funding mechanisms, especially in the rural counties where, you know, people are taxed out to the max that you can get out of the property. And by constitution, we're only allowed to tax a few things, you know, in our localities. So I think that, you know, and I think there'll be a bill filed about, you know, how do we modernize that? And I think that that would be the way forward. I am not a fan of any income tax of any sort. So I'd be first in line to get rid of those if we, you know, if we could find a replacement. But I think that that's on the books, and we see that as an issue, and I think it'll come up this session.
Yeah, Chair Petrie is very adamant on trying to lower the income tax without touching sales tax, and how he's wanting to do that is just to have more growth, which we're already starting to see. Of course, the last governor race, you know, they both were topping all the growth that was coming into the state of Kentucky. So I think that's a trajectory we're going to stay with for a while. Even if we don't make those triggers as bad as we want to, we don't think we're going to fudge the formula to catch these triggers, because that can be dangerous at times. So, and what they both said, I think Representative Meredith is still looking at filing that. I know there's been some discussion to give local communities a little bit more ways to be able to tax. Of course, that would take a constitutional amendment, so we will see. We only have so many spots on the ballot, and
four.
Unfortunately, we haven't done too well with the last few amendments, so maybe we'll get one out there we can get past. So.
Anything else? Well, listen, thank you all for joining us today, and very much appreciate all of your support for the region, for our organization.